You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Church, we must be vigilant. We must be bold. Satan goes around seeking whom he may devour, not as a timid lamb. He goes around like a lion. But the Word says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous will be bold as a lion. Not the lion that is toothless, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah, having your full authority, your full inheritance, your full birthright, the fullness of the Word of God, as a bold believer, a Christ follower, standing and declaring with our mouth the authority that we have through Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that we live ready. We live ready. In Acts chapter 21, I want you to think for a moment about this season in the Apostle Paul's life. Acts chapter 21. In verse 10 of Acts 21, during our stay of several days, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. When he visited us, he took Paul's belt and he bound his own feet and hands with it. You see that picture? He says to Paul, Let me see that rope that you have around your waist there. Let me see that. Ties his hands, ties his feet. He's a prophet. And then he said this, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans. When we heard this, we who were traveling with him, he has a ministry team with him, as well as the local believers, begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. We're talking today about living ready. Living ready. Paul is ministering to the believers. He's on this missionary journey. The prophet shares this account, tying his hands and his feet, gives a prophetic word, which is actually true. However, Paul says something. Why all this weeping? Why are you weeping? We say, well, I understand why they're weeping, because Paul, who God has used to minister to so many people, so many came to faith under his ministry, now prophetic words being given that he's going to be arrested. If he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, and he is going to end up being put under the control of the Romans. They understood that very likely would mean Paul's ministry days were almost over. And they're weeping over that suspected loss. Paul calls them on it, though. He said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. And then he says this, for I am ready. I know there's more, we'll come back to the more, but he says, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. I wonder if every one of us this morning could just say that. I am ready. I'm not going to say that to the devil. I've heard people make stupid statements like, bring it on, Satan, bring it on. No, I'm not going to say that to the devil. I'm going to say it to God. I'm going to say, God, I am ready for whatever you have. God, I'm ready. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I'm not going to bother myself with the concerns of what the enemy might do, what the Romans might do, what might happen with my hands and my feet being bound, because I am ready to serve God at whatever point He takes me to. I believe this is where God wants us all to come to. I believe God wants me to live here, at this place, where God can put me any place at any moment. And at that place, I'm going to say, I'm ready, God. I'm ready. I'm ready. Here am I. Send me. Use me, God. You have prepared me for this moment. I'm ready for this time. I'm ready for this hour. Why all of this weeping? I am ready. Do you know what that means to me? It means there's not one more thing I have to do. I don't have to pray another prayer. I don't have to read another scripture. I don't have to hear another word of encouragement. I don't need anyone else to lay hands on me. I am ready right now, God. Whatever, wherever, however you are going to work in my life, I'm ready right now. And I say yes to you. I believe every day of the rest of our lives should and could start this way. God, I am ready. That's where Paul was. He said, I'm ready. And he's basically saying, I'm ready for three things. He's saying, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. And he's saying, I shall. I'm going to go. Now, your tears is making it harder for me. Because he's... Do you think Paul is thinking their tears are making him think about what he may go through? Or do you think his tears are because he's realizing they haven't got it yet? Do you think Paul is broken? He has a heaviness in his heart because he's going to face something? Or do you think it's because Paul is saying, I'm leaving before they fully got a hold of how big their God is and how great He is and how powerful He is and how absolutely in control He is in every detail of my life. I believe that's what he was saying. I believe Paul was heavy-hearted because those that he had ministered to were not quite ready themselves to say, I am ready. Maybe you need to ask me, Maybe I need to ask you. Maybe it needs to be part of our greeting. I know the early church would say, He is risen. And then the response would be what? He's risen indeed. I wonder if in this end time day, if part of the communication we have, Ruddy, should be something like this. Ruddy, are you ready? And I think, Ruddy, you should be able to say to me, Brother Jonathan, are you ready? Are you ready? It might be 3 in the afternoon. Are you ready? It may be 5 in the morning. Are you ready? Are you saying, God, I'm ready now. You don't have to look for me. You don't have to try to find me. You don't have to do another year's work of my life. I'm ready right now to say, use me now, God, in this generation. I'm ready. Paul is saying, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. And he's saying, I am ready to be bound. And I am ready. He doesn't say to face death. Because the word says we face death every day. Did you know that? Every day you face death. The enemy would love to take your life every day. Every day we face death. This is not saying, I'm ready to face death. He said, I am ready to die. I wonder if God wants for us to be ready to go when He says go. If we're ready to experience difficulties as we go and where we go, even if it's restrictive and painful. And when we say, God, I'm ready to die. I've had a number of times, occasions over the last 6 months to think about this. I believe it's something we all should think about. When I had that pulmonary embolism back in October, I didn't know how serious it was. I didn't even know what was going on. I just knew that when I was a kid and I broke a whole ton of ribs and it felt like I had razor blades inside, just if I breathed, it hurt. You know, I thought my hair hurt. I thought everything hurt. I was black and blue. You know, trees don't move well. You know, I had a close encounter with a tree. And that night after Bible study, God was giving me strength. I was dealing with some stuff during it. But it was afterwards. I just sat down on the couch. I'm like, took one deep breath. And said, oh, something's wrong. Seriously wrong. My whole family wanted to take me to the hospital, but I wanted to just be alone with God for a few minutes. And I realized I had the peace of God to go to the hospital. You shouldn't go to the hospital unless you have the peace of God. I didn't go to the hospital because I was hurting. I went because the peace of God was given to me at that moment to do something. But I wanted that quiet time. I realized in a moment I could live 5 minutes or 30 minutes. This could be the end of my life right now. Right now. And I could actually be at a place where my goodbye to my wife and my family may be the last time I see them. And I know they wanted to take me, and I understand that, and it probably, in a lot of ways, the decision for me to drive myself could have been judged. But I wanted that quiet time from the house to the hospital to just say, God, did I leave something out that I need to, that really has to be dealt with? Because once I got to the hospital, there were people every place, and there wasn't time then to pray. So many people say, well, you know, I'll pray later. Maybe you're watching and you're saying, I'm going to pray later. Maybe you're watching or listening and you're saying, I'll get right with God later. But let me tell you, later is not a promise of God. Right now is the promise of God. And so we need to live ready now. So if the Holy Spirit deals with you or deals with me today, today is the day I need to say, yes, God, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. So Paul says this, I am ready. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. I'm ready to be bound. And I'm ready to die. But he puts in brackets how he is ready, why he is ready. He says, for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, I'm not ready to die for COVID. I'm not ready to die for a heart condition. I'm not ready to die for a lung condition. I'm not ready to die for any disease that Egypt has. I'm not ready to die for any of those things. In fact, according to the Word of God, I'm to pray and believe and receive healing and believe that God is my healer. God may use a doctor. God may do it supernaturally. I've had both. I like God better. But I'm not ready to die with any of those things. But I need to be ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, we live in America. We live in a nation, we have nothing to be afraid of. We don't need to be concerned about this. You know, because we have freedom here in our nation and this will never happen here. That's what I heard when I was a kid. And it was more believable then than it is now. Now, let me ask you who you can trust. I mean, you look at the news. Can you trust this channel? Can you trust that channel? Can you trust this person? Trust that? You know, what can you trust? We are coming to a place, I believe that God is working in His church. And I believe God wants us to come to the place where we totally trust God and His Word, and that's enough. And that's enough. I mean, I'd like to be able to trust, you know, the doctors. I was talking to my doctor, and I'm telling my doctor, he goes, well, you know, what did you do? What did you do? So he asked me, so I told him what I did. And then he says, none of that works. Well, then why did you ask me what I did? I'm alive, you know. I'm thinking, hello. None of that works. We already know none of that works. I said, okay, you're the doctor. You figure it out. All I can tell you is, I was dying. I did this. I'm alive. I'm right here. See, you know, I'm one of your patients. I'm going to be paying you. I'm right here. I'm still alive. So you figure out what works and doesn't work. You go figure out what's right and what's wrong, right? Church, I believe the day is coming when we no longer can just take what we're told. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to have discernment. We need to have a heart that is in the presence of God. So we have a heavenly perspective because things are quickly falling apart down here. I know that's a shocker to you. Things are falling apart. And there used to be a day when you could go into the house of God and you could hear the Word of God and you could be touched by the Holy Spirit and you could be moved and say, I can trust what I hear in the church. But the church at large has drifted so far away from God that there is a tremendous revival that's needed in the church to bring pastors and spiritual leaders back to God. So once again, the house of God will be a house of bread. Right now, I'll tell you, there are many gatherings, many churches that are dangerous places because they're saying you can do basically whatever you want to do by their silence. By silence, death is being given out. By silence. I have more and more people that are saying, why is there such an agenda of death? Because we have a transition of spiritual leadership that's manifesting. A transition of spiritual leadership. If a nation has spiritual leadership that honors God, and the nation is humble before God and is seeking God, then there is an atmosphere of life over that nation. But if that nation rejects God, in the process, death and the spirit of Antichrist and death begins to reign. And then that begins to dictate the messages that are coming forth. And we know that our nation, what started subtly, now has become a roar. The enemy at one time was quietly selling his wares. Today he shouts from the television, shouts from the media, shouts from every platform in our nation. Today the devil roars in the marketplace and the church is mostly silent. And I understand that I have people tell me things like, Jonathan, you know, you preach too long. Jonathan, you give too hard of a message. I mean, I used to go to the doctor, and the doctor would say, this is going to hurt, but it's going to be good for you. You ever go to a doctor like that? This is going to hurt, but it'll be better later. I mean, I used to go see Dr. Myers, and Dr. Myers was a big boy. I don't know if any of you knew Dr. Myers, but in Hope Sound, we had one doctor. We had Dr. Myers, and eventually he was in politics, but Dr. Myers was, he was a wonderful guy, and I think it was kind of like the country doctors. I think he would have taken pay and, you know, chickens if necessary, you know, because he would not turn you away. He would accept, you know, and Mom, we got to go back to Dr. Myers. I mean, I kind of felt like we were personal friends because I was forever challenging the odds. And when you do that as a kid, stuff breaks and things happen. And I remember one day I decided that I was going to try this, you know, I was jumping off this roof into this pile of debris at this construction site, and that wasn't too bad. But then I decided to jump. I thought, yeah, this has got to be a little more challenging. There was a septic tank close by, and I said, I want to jump and land in the septic tank. They used to build them, you know, by concrete blocks, and it was a big thing. I didn't know there was a board with nails sticking through it down there. And when I landed on that thing, it became a part of my address. And I remember going to see Dr. Myers, and he says, this thing's got to be pulled out. It's going to hurt. Years later, honey, you remember Joyce Hamilton at that time. Sister Joyce, she's helping us wearing her flip-flops on a construction site. I said, Joyce, you can't do this. She said, yeah, well, I can. She stepped on a nail. It went right through her foot, went through the flip-flop, sticking out the top. And she says, oh, I'm going to be fine. And she was fine after the doctor said, I've got to get my toolbox out. And he went, he actually had pliers. I think they were Craftsmen. Remember when we still had Craftsmen and we had Sears and we had warranties on some things? Do you realize what we've lost in our nation? I mean, in our lifetime, so much has been lost. So much that my son will never really know or experience or just have faint memories of. And he pulled it out. He said, it's going to hurt. The Word of God is not a lollipop. That we're to exceed our sugar content with. The Word of God is getting us ready to live in God's house. We used to go to Grandma's house, and I hated going to Grandma's house. I loved going to Grandma's house for the first 30 minutes, but after that, I didn't like it anymore. First 30 minutes would be the hugs and the kisses and, you know, some gifts and stuff like that. But then after 30 minutes, now you're at Grandma's house. At Grandma's house, you either sit down or you go outside. No other options. You sit down or you go outside. And you don't go in and out. And if you need to use the restroom, you better do it now because you're not going to come back and forth once you get outside and you get sweaty and dirty. That was Grandma's house. I knew when we went to Grandma's house and we stayed there a few days. Boy, that was painful. There's one place we could stay in the basement. The McLeans could stay in the basement. That's where we could stay. And so in the basement, there's a little shower. There was no carpet. It was a concrete floor. And we could set up our beds and we could stay in the basement. But we couldn't be up in Grandma's living area. It was all fancy up there. I want to ask you something this morning. When did we get the idea that God's going to let anything and anybody live in His house? When do we get the idea that God doesn't have the right to say, if you plan to live in heaven, you're going to have to live in the heaven that I made. There's going to be an absence of sin, an absence of the devil. If you're going to live in God's house, then you need to move a bunch of stuff out of your life so you are able and presentable and a redeemed son of God. You can't just get in. It's by RSVP only. So for those who thought it was too rough, you remember the crowds followed as long as there was dinner on the grounds. Fish and chips, we'll come out for fish and chips. Hey, you start talking about dying and you talk about carrying a cross and you talk about forgiveness and you talk about loving people who are trying to kill you and you start talking about the Sermon on the Mount and Beatitudes. And one day Jesus says to His disciples, He looks around, everybody's gone but just them, and He said, are you guys going to go too? Yeah, Jesus dealt with that, didn't He? So the important thing is that in a day when everything is falling apart, that the church realizes that all hell cannot take us apart. And so on a day when you don't know who you can believe, the church must continue to preach the word that everybody can believe and receive.